And welcome to the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're excited, as always, to be part of Progressive Radio Network, that's PRN.FM, where you can listen live every Tuesday to the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, or you can return back anytime, day or night, to listen to the archived shows, both our show and all the other shows that you get to hear on Progressive Radio Network, Ari Nell's Network. And we're so happy to join with you in-person listeners. We have so many up-and-coming classes. If you go to naturalnurse.com and click on calendar, you will see they are all, they're not all there, but a lot of them are getting to be posted there now. We have our up-and-coming Chinatown Echo Tours for Cures. That's where we meet in Chinatown, Manhattan, and we spend the day from 11 to 4 really experiencing a whole other country. It's very, very exciting. It feels like you went on a vacation far, far away, and yet you learn about tongue and pulse diagnosis. We go to an exhibit in the Chinese Museum. We have a sacred tea ceremony. We do qigong in the park. It does sell out every time we offer this. We've been offering this class for 27 years, myself and Dr. Zamperone. So if you'd like to join in this year, now's the time to register. We still have some places available, and that is for April 10th, coming right up. We also have our Echo Tours for Cures to Jamaica. That's sold out, I have to say. That's sold out. We can take a couple of more people if they want to camp in a tent, but all the inside-type facilities on the north coast of Jamaica in the Maroon country, where we live with indigenous shamanic healers for 5 days. This is our 27th year doing that, and that has now sold out, but thank you for your interest. We also have many classes, both online and on ground, coming up. For instance, this coming Saturday starts our next series of once a month for 4 months, where you actually get a certification in herbal medicine. And we'd love to hear from you about that. If you'd like to join in, you can go online at naturalnurse.com under classes, and you can register there on the link. That class is brought to you by the Florida School of Holistic Living, where I am a professor, and people do come to our classes there right in Florida. We have lots of those coming up as well. And then we switch to on ground here in New York and Long Island for the summer. We have lots of those classes as well, where we go outside and actually do herbal identification, where you learn what plants that are growing right in your yard and in the parks around your house you can use for food and medicine. That becomes increasingly important. I mean, it's a fun topic, but it also could be very quickly at any time a survival topic. Those people who understand and know what herbs to use for themselves and their family that grow outside can make it through a time of no electricity or a time of disaster management. So just another reason why you want to know about those plants that is your food and medicine locally at your house. You want to know that. So thank you again so much for joining us. Today we have as our guest Dr. John Jacquish, and we're going to be talking about strong bones through osteogenic loading. We're going to talk to Dr. Jacquish, who began his experience in life sciences after being told by his mother that she had been diagnosed with osteoporosis. In an effort to assist her, he created a special device that places axial loading, which he'll define for us, through bone to safely cause osteogenic loading events. And the device was to trigger the effects of high impact loading, but without the risk of injury. And after he actually did help his mother to successfully reverse her osteoporosis, and as part of his doctoral dissertation in biomedical engineering research at Rushmore University, he conducted 4 years of testing with human subjects and published the data. And that shows that osteogenic loading has resulted in over 14% gains in bone density in both the spine and hip over 1 year of once weekly treatments. So Dr. Jackwish presented this information at international osteoporosis conferences worldwide and is on the editorial board of Diabetes Open and is a board member of American Bone Health, the global leader in patient bone health education. The website you want to look at is osteostrong.me, and there is a link right to it on our page and on our archives here at The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Jackwish.
Thanks for having me.
And you're coming in loud and clear.
Great.
So let's go back in time and tell the listeners our story about how you got interested in bone health.
You kind of said it. It was my mother.
I did it when I was in
university, and I came home, and like most kids in school, they're hungry and they need their laundry done. And I came home, and I could tell my mother was upset about something. And when I asked her, and she said, "Well, I'm going to die." My mother's dramatic, so I had heard that before. So I said, "Well, why do you think you're going to die, Mom?" And she said that she was diagnosed with osteoporosis. And so as I began to read about it, I realized she wasn't overreacting, because the fracture data, hip fractures have a similar morbidity rate to mortality rate to the to breast cancer. So most people don't realize that osteoporotic fractures end as many lives as breast cancer does. It's not as direct as breast cancer because there's a lot of complications that end up challenging the life of these individuals. But I started reading about it, and then I told her that this is a disease of deconditioning, and anything that's deconditioned can become reconditioned. I know you talk about similar things like that all the time, right?
Well, that's true, because the body can rebuild, and by changing what we're doing, we can change the outcome.
That's right. That's right, yeah. Placing the body in a different environment so that it has to change to attenuate the environment. So I looked at some of the research that went towards high impact. I realized that the people in our society that have highest bone density are those who absorb very high impacts. And gymnastics was a perfect event to study. There's a great library of literature because the type of impact that gymnasts absorb is very repeatable. And like in any experiment, you want repeatable events that you can measure. So it worked well to analyze this and try and understand better how they were doing it. So as opposed to putting my mother in some sort of high-impact situation, which has a high risk associated with it, I wanted to create something that gave the benefits of high-impact without the risks.
Okay, well, let's do a little bit more definitions here.
Sure.
So everyone understands. What are high-impact actions that many people might do, you know, without using a particular machine?
Well, low-level impact is like a heel strike as you walk. Now, our heel strike changes as we age. Little kids sound like elephants when they're running on a hardwood floor because they're pounding their heels on the ground very hard, and that is what builds bone density. As individuals get older, we shift weight towards the toes, and then even in elder years, people walk very flat-footed, so they stop heel striking for the most part altogether, which puts very little load through the bone mass and thereby can stop giving the osteoblasts, those are the bones, the newer bone cells, reasons to pull in minerals and recalcify greater tissue around themselves. So relevant loading to building bone is, this has been a little bit elusive to researchers up until recently. And there was a study done in Bristol which attached accelerometers to people's legs, and then looked at how much load they were going to absorb through their activities. And this is a wide age and gender study, so very broad population. So older people, younger people. And then they did blood tests to look for bone turnover markers. And what they learned was that of the people who absorbed 4.2 multiples of body weight through their hip joint, they were building bone. If they did not absorb 4.2 multiples of body weight, they weren't doing anything to bone. So this research came out after mine, which was showing the same thing. So it was a great confirmation as to what my research had found. But what was very interesting is this study actually established a bottom threshold. So to achieve that level of load, and I think this is what answers your question, individuals need to drop from something that is greater than 15 inches from the ground.
Oh, I didn't know that. Because I learned an exercise years ago where you just, in standing, lift yourself up, like on your toes, and come down hard on your heels.
Yeah, not even close.
That's not going to make you more than 15 inches if you're short like me.
Yeah, that's more like 2 or 3. You
uh-huh.
need to get to 15. So,
okay, I didn't know that.
And part of what I saw in this research effort was that there is no exercise out there that's really doing the relevant level of loading that is providing the venue for people to load themselves in any relevant way. Now, these resistance exercises or jumping or whatever may do something for balance, may do something for just neuromuscular engagement, blood flow, circulation, your cardiac health. Exercise is fantastic. But now that we know, we can't kid ourselves into thinking this is going to do anything for bone. So when developing this device, the idea was we take individuals and put them into a position where they would naturally absorb impact. So if you fall down and you can catch yourself, there's specific positions that you would assume, right?
Oh, if you tried to catch yourself, like put your arms out
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if you trip and fall, the back of your hand will align with your clavicle, and the angle of inclusion between the upper and lower arm will be 120 degrees. So that is the position where your upper extremities are the most powerful. Therefore, that's what your reflexes choose to absorb high impact force. So what the device does, it takes that position that you were just talking about, and it allows people to self-load in their most powerful position so they can go far beyond what they would ever use in any sort of conventional exercise. So in the research studies that one of them I did and another one I helped write up, but it was done in a London hospital, individuals were between 7 and 9 multiples of body weight. So think about your body weight and multiply that by 7, and that's how much force they were using through their legs. So these are loads that are far beyond what individuals could ever get in a fitness venue. And that is why those triggers within the body were able to grow so much bone so quickly.
And what did you use for an analysis in terms of the amount of bone that was built over time through using these particular loading?
That was a DEXA scan, a dual X-ray absorbiometry. It's the standard of bone density measurement. But we've seen it in either bone turnover markers, and probably the most exciting, and I think from how I've listened to your show, I think this is really speaking to the way your listeners would be thinking about things. A DEXA scan is like taking somebody's blood pressure. It is a static test of bone. It is literally an x-ray picture of how your bone looks to determine the density. But it's not a dynamic test. And since we want the bone to perform under load to avoid fracture, right, we
yeah.
want to increase the functional performance of bone. So what the information the device gathers and outputs reports to the patients and users, it gives you a report that shows you your functional bone performance. So, like, for example, let's say an individual, the first time they come in, they may put 500 pounds through their legs, which is actually a very low number, and that is what they can comfortably place through their legs at the highest level without departing from comfort. And then in 6 months, they may turn that number into 1,000 pounds or 1,500 pounds. So it's very easy to see that the entire kinetic chain, muscles, tendons, ligaments, and bone, have all improved in their performance and are able to absorb more force. So we know what's happening in the bone because of the DEXA scans, but we also see the body just comfortably loading, and we see that event every week that someone does it.
So you actually are doing a DEXA scan every week? Isn't that a lot of radiation for the
participant? No, we're not doing DEXA scans every week.
Okay.
Yeah, we're...
So you're
what
doing
I was talking
it over
about was functional bone performance.
Not a week. Okay.
So as individuals load, it's the function of bone that we're measuring. How much force can the bone comfortably tolerate? And that number we see go up every week.
Okay. The amount that they, like, for instance, when we are having a regular workout that I'm sure many people can relate to, especially if you have a trainer, they'll be having a certain weight that you would be using on a particular device, and then they'll usually increase it. Sometimes not every week, but they would increase it appropriately for where you're at a particular
time. Right. That's not how this works at all. The output of the individual is different every time they use the device. So it's actually measuring the output of bone. So it's not like somebody picks a weight. It's you get into a position where you would naturally absorb impact, and then you self-load in those positions, and the maximum that you're capable of is the metric that is captured. So if one day you're capable of 500 pounds and the next day it's 535.5 pounds, that's the number that's captured. So it is a maximum output to fatigue in that position.
Okay, and so it's measuring it from the person who's using the machine.
Right, it is a self-loading event from the individual who is using the device, that's right.
Right, not something that would be increased. It's just, okay, so how much are they now reflecting because it's a measurement?
That's right. Well, it's a stimulus and a measurement all at the same time. Provided that they went to fatigue, it stimulates. But we get a finite number, which is an accurate reflection of their functional bone performance, each session. And if they went through the adaptation of building bone, that number will go up almost every week.
That's funny. Well, does it have a maximum or it just continues to increase indefinitely?
Well, thus far, there have been people using it for over 5 years, and they continue to make progress. Now, in the beginning, sometimes individuals can gain over 100 pounds in one movement from 1 week to the next. Later on, when their bone density becomes much higher, the gains are smaller in proportion, but
oh, so
we haven't really seen
station.
An upper ceiling yet.
Right.
And
okay.
for example, there are individuals who put 20 times their body weight through their lower extremities.
Okay, so it's been in use for about 5 years that you've
right.
been accumulating.
A lot of that was
that.
Testing.
Okay, and so that you see, and that's true about a lot of things, like when people go on some kind of weight loss program, you know, if they are being successful, you'll usually see a much larger proportion of weight change in the beginning
right.
than you will, you know, several months in because you begin to stabilize too.
Right.
Okay,
well, the body does want to reach homeostasis of all tissues, so ultimately there are high levels of bone density. But like I never had a bone density issue, but I've always used the device since developing it, and I know my bone density is 2 standard deviations above normal in both my spine and my hip. So what that means is, based on the normal degradation curve, if I never use the osteogenic triggering device I created ever again, and I didn't exercise at all, I would have normal bone density, as in the bone density of a 30-year-old, when I reach 90 years old.
So once you've used it a particular amount of time, you feel that it doesn't regress back to what it was before.
That's right. Or it proceeds on the normal trajectory of bone loss. But
from
if
that.
You have a higher moment, like if right now I take someone who's a 50-year-old female and she goes through the therapy, does osteogenic triggering, and moves her bone density back to that of a 30-year-old, she just changed the curve, if you look at the normalized curve, by 20 years. So she may still, if she stops using it, she's still going to start losing bone density again, but she's starting at such a higher place that she has a lot longer before it ever becomes a deconditioning.
Okay, so that makes sense. So how would you define deconditioning?
Well, deconditioning is osteopenia or osteoporosis. When bone density becomes low enough where there becomes an accelerated fracture risk. So, like, for example, my mother, who in 18 months went from negative 2.5, she was a little lower, it was like negative 2.58 or something, she went all the way in 18 months to a score of 0. So back to the bones of a 30-year-old. But she was in her 70s at the time, and she just turned 80 and still has a T-score of 0. So at 80 years old, she has the bones of a 30-year-old woman. So she probably won't have to worry about bone density for the rest of her life.
That's fantastic. So
yeah.
Now is she still getting this therapy? Or like you said, once you get it, you gain a certain amount, and then it actually holds.
That's right. Well, she's still doing it to maintain as high as she can. She's lucky. She knows the right guy, so she has one of these devices at home.
Right.
But most people go to a clinic to do it. OsteoStrong specifically, the website you mentioned.
Okay. Yes, and we'll talk about that further. But yes, is osteostrong.me?
Yeah, correct.
Is that the right place? Okay, we're
yes.
going to go for one little break, our first break right here. Fascinating discussion that we are having about strong bones through osteogenic loading. And we'll certainly talk more about it and how you can access this technology when we come back right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss an herb we all know and love, cinnamon.
Ah, spicy, sweet smell of cinnamon. Everyone recognizes the familiar aroma of this common kitchen spice. But did you know that cinnamon is an exotic plant bark with a long history of medicinal use in many countries throughout the world? Cinnamon was listed as an herb with medicinal properties in Chinese literature as early as 2700 BC. It is described in the Chinese medical text, the Tang Materia Medica, written in 659 AD. Cinnamon also enjoys traditional use in Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing art of India. It is mentioned in the Book of Moses and has been cultivated in Ceylon and Sri Lanka since 1200 AD, where much of the world's supply is still grown.
In Europe, cinnamon was regarded as a rare and precious spice. Many pharmaceutical substances, such as cough syrups and digestive tonics, contain cinnamon. It was also used as an incense and in perfumes. According to Chamberlain, writing in France in 1887, cinnamon possesses the greatest antiseptic properties. Cinnamon is gathered from the dried inner bark of the branches of a small tropical evergreen laurel tree. The bark is peeled off, and as the pieces are dried, they curl up into quills. These are the common cinnamon sticks that are used in herb teas and for baking.
In Chinese medicine, cinnamon is one of the most widely used warming herbs to aid in circulation and digestion. It is a common ingredient in small amounts in tea used for nausea during pregnancy. It is also used following delivery to decrease hemorrhage. Cinnamon raises vitality, warms and stimulates all the vital functions of the body, counteracts congestion, improves the digestive system, relieves abdominal spasms, and aids in peripheral circulation. The essential oils contained in cinnamon include eugenol, cinnamonic aldehyde, methyl eugenol, tannins, and mannitol, which give cinnamon its sweet flavor. It also contains cinzenolin and cinzenolol, which are both known insecticides.
Try putting some liquid soap and cinnamon in a spray bottle and use on plants as an organic bug repellent. Cinnamon is also included in many medicinal recipes that are used for lice, scabies, and other skin parasites. Cinnamon has antifungal, antiviral, and bactericidal activities. It has been shown to suppress E. coli, Staphylococcus, and Candida albicans.
So, listeners, the next time you inhale that sweet, spicy aroma, remember there's more to cinnamon than meets the nose as you reach into your natural medicine chest.
Right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And I am so excited to get emails from you, Facebook page questions from you, our listeners. And we know we have many because we have probably over 150,000 downloads of our shows right here on Progressive Radio Network on the archives. And then I know that the show is also aired other places where we don't even get a number. You know, there's no counter there of the many people who are listening. So in any event, there's many of you, and we are so happy. Dr. Zamperone and I have been bringing you information about natural medicine myself since 1964. That's right, folks, with a six. And at that time, there was actually no holistic radio shows on the air, but Dr. Z and I started our first radio show, which still airs, and that's called Natural Alternatives, and that show has been on since the 1980s. And then we also have one called Herbally Yours, and that show's been on since 1990. So we've been doing this for a minute. But one of our favorite shows is certainly this one, The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, right here on Progressive Radio Network. And one of the reasons is because of the platform. And Gary Null has established a fantastic platform with archives that are available 24/7 and that you can, I know people say, oh, we listened in our car. I go, how does that happen? You know, I'm not really that techie savvy, although I appreciate it. And what they do is download it onto something. I'm sure you know what that something is more than I do. But in any event, they download it, and then they listen somehow in their car. Just amazing. so many things. You know, it's a double-edged sword, certainly, all this technology. And one of the good parts is that we can communicate with such a wide audience, and we love it. And our book sales are really skyrocketing. You can find all of our books, and we've written many, at naturalnurse.com. Look under products and then books, and all the books are there with a description about what they discuss, including the newest one, which is Synchronous Connections, A Personal Journey Through Non-Ordinary Reality. We also have our top seller, Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, which is all about what you can do to bring down inflammation. And as you know, inflammation is the cause of basically every kind of illness. And we have one called the Natural Medicine Chest, and you hear our radio version right here on the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z on breaks, and that's called the Natural Medicine Chest. So that and so much more you can learn. You can take courses. You can get certified in herbal medicine through our online teachings. And thank you so much for your participation. Today we have as our guest Dr. John Jaquish, and Dr. Jaquish is involved with OsteoStrong, and I'm actually at the website right now, osteostrong.me, and it really talks about experiencing the OsteoStrong difference, and you also have a free session giveaway on this website, Dr. Jaquish.
That's right.
What is a session? How do people access a session?
Oh, they just need to make an appointment.
Okay. But how do you find, well, you know, basically, so you designed a machine.
Correct.
Okay. And then it was based on all kinds of science that you actually looked into initially.
That's right.
Due to your mom's issue with osteoporosis. Did she actually have porosis or did she have osteomalacia?
She had osteoporosis, that's right.
Okay, so she had already been diagnosed. And so then you put a lot of research and energy efforts into designing a machine. I'm looking at the picture of it now. And it looks kind of like, I mean, if that's what I'm looking at, this white thing with a woman standing on it and then a coach person working with her.
That's right, yep.
That whole machine. So now that machine has to be somewhere. It doesn't look like a little thing that people could fit in their
No, it weighs about 1,000 pounds.
Right. So it's a major thing. So where would these normally be found?
Well, there's a location finder on osteostrong.me where you can you can find the location nearest you. And if not, you can contact their office and help individuals put them in your area.
Okay, so basically the kind of practitioner that might have a machine like this would be who? A workout place or a chiropractor?
No, it's
or,
a clinic. It's OsteoStrong is a clinic that you go into and go through the treatment, and they ask screening questions and give you education on bone health. Some of the locations are certified American Bone Health education locations, and it's not something to be used in a fitness environment.
Okay, so it's not a fitness thing. What about a chiropractor?
There are some who have worked on it. There's a significant cost associated with a device, so that doesn't.
I would imagine.
It's a $45,000 device.
Right. And so what kinds of places would have this? Would a hospital have it? Would a doctor's office have it?
Both of those and then those clinics that I mentioned.
Okay, because I'm actually looking for one, and I guess there's a place that you can put in your city or state where the location might be.
That's right.
Because I'm seeing all over the place, New Mexico, Nebraska, South Dakota, but how about like New York, Florida, places that are...
There are some in both. I'm not familiar with every one of the locations, and there's new ones coming up all the time.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful.
Yes, okay, very fast growing.
And it's interesting to me that it seems to be focused more in the Midwest than on the coast, which is always unusual.
Right.
To me. And So that would be the only way to actually try the machine, is to find a place that has one and then see if you can go ahead and try it for yourself. But we certainly can talk a lot more about bone density screening. Now, how accurate do you think bone density screening is? Because it seems like they have several ways of reading it. One is to compare you, like myself, 65-year-old woman, to a 25-year-old woman. And another way is to compare me to age-similar individuals.
That's right. That's a T-score or a Z-score.
Okay. Tell us about the difference between a T-score and a Z-score.
Well, they're both measures of standard deviation from the normal. But the normal in a T-score is the healthy level of bone, which is actually 30 years of age.
Okay.
And the Z-score normalizes for where most people are, where they are in their age. So for someone who's 65, it's comparing you to what the norm is for 65. Most physicians just look at the T-score because it gives people a better read on what's healthy and where they are compared to their healthiest. And it's a little easier to understand, because if you're elderly person, you just being as bad as everybody else your age doesn't really give you much information. So they do that with vitamins also.
They actually lower what's considered normal based on where most people are at, not based on what would be the healthiest point.
Say that one more time.
So vitamins, they often change the required level, what they consider a normal level, based on the testing of thousands of people, rather than what the optimum level for optimum wellness would be. So they actually have downgraded scores to what would stop the development of a deficiency disease, not what would give us our best operating level.
That's right.
So it's a similar concept. So it's, you're trying to look at, you know, a best-case scenario would be what many 30-year-olds would have, even if you're older.
That's right.
So I'm looking now 100 miles from my house. There is not one of these places. I would love to try it.
That's a journey. Now, keep in mind, you only have to use it one time per week. So there are people who drive that far, because they only need to do one session per week.
Okay. So this one, it seems like in, Wesley Chapel. That's another thing. Very interesting is that you have them in many of these very remote areas. It's funny. Plant City, Florida. Okay, so there's nothing near me in Florida. Now I'll look by my New York house, because it seems like it would be excellent. Now, one of the things that's very important in what you were looking at is being able to do this osteogenic loading, but being very, very safe and avoiding the risk of injury.
That's right. That's the easiest way to explain it. It is the benefit of high impact without the risks.
Okay. And what are some of the other ways to get high impact? I mean, does lifting weights, we often hear about lifting weights in terms of wellness for bone health. Is that a way to actually do osteogenic loading?
Well, that was where we started. Remember when I said 4.2 multiples of body weight is the bottom threshold?
Okay.
So that, yeah, and once that was discovered, everyone in exercise science has to come to the conclusion that we're not doing that level of, we're not coming anywhere near that level of force.
So let's give our listeners some examples. So if someone weighed 130 pounds, okay, what would be the weight that they would have to work with to actually get osteogenic loading?
They'd need to be around 550 pounds through their legs.
Okay, well, I don't see too many exercise machines doing anything like that.
Yeah, so most exercise machines that adults would use don't even provide a load that's that high.
No, really,
right.
Because
right.
people
that's,
could move it, including
point.
Myself.
Yeah,
it would be
that,
like, no, it's not going
developed.
Anywhere.
If there's so many people that are doing exercise and involved in exercise programs, and if that was working, we wouldn't really have this disease.
It does seem to be widely prolific. That's certainly true.
Yeah.
So it's something that we see in the general population. Now, why is it more prevalent in women than men?
Oh, well, some of it's endocrine differences between men and women, brought on by menopause. When there's a loss of estrogen, the bone loss becomes accelerated. But there's also the level of loading that each gender would normally absorb in the earlier years in life to bring them to peak. Because the higher you are at peak, the higher you'll be for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and it's almost very too bad about that, because a lot of people start to get concerned, you know, much later in life.
Right.
And really, you know, we want it to be earlier in life. But, you know, as with most things, we tend to learn more as we age. And when you're young, you know, you're never thinking that you're going to be old. I guess you can't even visualize that, and that's not your first concern. So it's certainly true that basically the earlier you get started on a bone health program, the more benefits that you will reap. Well, we're going to take another break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and this one is going to let you listeners learn more about the many, many wonderful shows that you can hear both live on air, just like you're listening to our show this morning with Dr. John Jackwish, and also anything on the archive that you might like to catch. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
This is PRN.FM, giving you a daily progressive take on the world.
The story behind the story, your story, my story, is all in the mix on Lead Stories right here on PRN.FM. This is Eutrice Lead inviting you to share your thoughts and opinions and expand your knowledge about critical issues of the day, Monday through Friday, right after Gary Null's show. Listen live to a broadcast or get Lead Stories whenever you want from PRN's archive. You can even rate the show on iTunes. Now pass the word. Tell this story to everyone you know. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
This is Guy McPherson. Join me and Mike Sliva with Nature Bats Last Radio on PRN.FM. Catch us Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. on the East Coast. You can rate the show on iTunes, and if you don't catch us live, you can catch us 24/7 in the PRN archives. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Time with Nature Bats Last on PRN.FM.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Normally, you would hear the Progressive Commentary Hour Monday evenings, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. However, as of today, we're going to be having it every Tuesday, 7 to 8 p.m. So just change your calendar, please. Change your schedule. Tuesday, 7 to 8 for the Progressive Commentary Hour.
This is the number one radio station for progressive independent thinkers, the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome back once again to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'd love you to join us either in person or online. Visit naturalnurse.com or Facebook The Natural Nurse, and you can send us a comment or question anytime. Of course, 24/7, we'll pick it up the next time we are looking on the computer, or there's also a phone number you can call, which is 800-829-0918. Some people still, you know, would prefer to contact that way. That's okay as well, and we love to hear from you. Today, we are very, very privileged to be discussing with a scientist, Dr. John Jaquish, a technology that he designed and developed, which is called OsteoStrong, and it's about creating strong bones through osteogenic loading. For those of you who are just joining us, you can listen to this show again anytime once it's on the archives, which will be probably sometime tomorrow. They do a good job putting them right up. And we were talking about what osteogenic loading is and the fact that he has designed a device that is a perfect solution. Now, how can we get more of these particular kinds of devices, OsteoStrong device, more widely available so more people can have access to it, Dr. Jaquish? Hello? Is Dr. Jaquish still there? Not sure. Let's see. Not sure if Dr. Jaquish is still there. So I'm going to hang up and call back into the station. Oh, there you are. Welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And unfortunately, as sometimes happens in the world, suddenly something happens with our caller's phone. So unfortunately, we were not able to complete the show with him. But just to give out that website so you can find out more, it's called osteostrong.me, and we are talking about osteogenic loading. Now, one of the things that the doctor said that was very interesting is that lifting weights often does not give you enough osteogenic loading. However, on the other hand, I would say that there are many, many studies, and I was going to ask him about that, showing that when people did even light weights, there actually was an improvement in bone matrix and bone mass, definitely. And even when they did these studies, although it's so much better, like we talked about, to do this naturally, nonetheless, when people, even in old age homes, remember, it's better to start younger, but even when you don't, you can actually help your bones get stronger. And this is also measurably, even in old age homes, when they start them on even sitting in chairs and doing weights, they were able to increase bone density. So, you know, the Surgeon General has actually provided unequivocal recommendations for protecting bone health, and that is nutrition, physical activity, and, of course, preventing falls, and also treating underlying compromised bone health issues, and that usually has to do with basic nutrients. So believe it or not, the easiest way to get excellent minerals is eating vegetables, and also including raw vegetables, because very often when you buy vegetables, especially non-organic vegetables, they're going to have be from demineralized soil, where the soil has actually been leached. And then if you eat things that are overly cooked and you have low physical activity and little sun exposure, these are all big issues. So you want to eat some raw fruits and vegetables every day. Avoid processed foods. How do you do that? Look in your cabinets and see if you have things that are all covered with paragraphs. If you do, throw them out and replace them with whole food. And definitely include specific bone-building nutrients. And those would be things that are very high in certain vitamins, such as vitamin D. Now, it's interesting when you're looking at vitamin D, how do you get enough vitamin D? Well, one thing that's really great is that nowadays every single physician will do a vitamin D test for you. And what you want to ask them to do is called an hydroxyvitamin D test, because vitamin D is so important to bone health and for the ability of the bones to uptake the mineral matrix. The mineral matrix includes calcium and magnesium. Many people are also deficient in magnesium. So you want to get a vitamin D test. Make sure you're asking them for a 25-hydroxyvitamin D test, because that is the test that most closely measures the kind of vitamin D that is actually available for your bones to use. So if you just take a vitamin D supplement, it may or may not be the right kind of vitamin D for you. I also suggest, if you decide to take a vitamin D supplement to support your bone health, that one of the things that you want to do is make sure that the vitamin D, look at not only the kind of vitamin D, the kind you want is D3 rather than D2. D3 is called cholecalciferol, while D2 is called ergocalciferol, not as useful for your body. So once you've determined which form the vitamin D that you have is, read your label. Is it D3 or is it D2? Be sure it's D3. But in addition, look at what's called the other ingredients. They're going to be on the very bottom of the label. So under other ingredients, you want to make sure you don't have a long paragraph, which I just saw the other day. Often in my classes, I have people bring in their supplements and we evaluate them. And when you see something that has a long, long list of other ingredients, well, you can look up each thing online, or you can actually just use this rule. If there's a long paragraph, do not get that supplement. If you already have it in your house, throw it out. If it has coloring agents like dyes and red dyes and all this kind of thing, you don't want it there. If it has magnesium stearate, that's not even great, because magnesium stearate is a fatty substance. It's not as bad as some of the other things. One thing you never want in any vitamin is a benzoate. tons of weight. Read your labels. Many of the vitamins, especially commercial vitamins, contain benzoates. And that can interfere with overall health and wellness. It can also release benzene. Benzene is a highly toxic carcinogenic chemical that, yes, believe it or not, can the benzene rings can break off of benzoate, and benzoate is included in things like vitamins, believe it or not. Read your labels. So as part of a bone health regimen or a natural health regimen of any kind, you do not want to ingest any benzoates. Read those supplements. So in terms of, do you need calcium? That's always a big question that people ask me. Well, first of all, you need exercise. Exercise, you know, would be great if you can access osteogenic loading through what our guest was talking about today. You can find out at osteostrong.me if there is a center near you where you can try a free trial of the OsteoStrong machine. But if not, all kinds of exercise are helpful. So, you know, put that in your routine every day, even just walking, because they certainly did lightweight exercise, regulated activities in old age homes and actually found that it was helpful. Another wonderful thing that actually shows increase in bone matrix mass, believe it or not, which is super inexpensive, is baking soda. That's right. Having about a quarter of a teaspoon in baking soda every day, there's some really strong evidence that has been published because that helps to alkalinize your body, which causes your body not to leach alkalinizing substances from bones. And I will make only one more comment in terms of supplementation. Choose magnesium glycinate. And if you are interested in a specific magnesium glycinate that is the best one to choose, you can get in touch with me, the natural nurse, and I'll email you a link to the best kind of magnesium glycinate that has the least additives and is the most well absorbed. So with that, we're going to end for today. Unfortunately, we lost our guest, but we had a wonderful show of strong bones through osteogenic loading. Look at osteostrong.me for more information. That was from Dr. John Jaquish, although we lost him on the phone. And again, thank you so much for joining myself, Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Until next week, we hope that you stay healthy.